Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's me just feeling my feminine side here, just having to transpose everything down an octave, of course, as the case may be. 106.3 WORD is our Upstate's talk station, of course. You know that, my friend. And, of course, you also know that the morning news voice, of course, the voice of authority, the man who reads off of a stone tablet teleprompter, that's Lee Rogers. Hey, Lee.
Good morning. Yes, we're waiting for that latest update on the technology here.
I thought perhaps, yeah. You know, we were just noting here the jobs growth in December, a 50-year low of 3.5% in the unemployment rate. The real unemployment rate dropped to 6.7%, which is the lowest ever. And now I see where Barron's, the financial publication, they have put together a panel that is sort of predicting 2020. And they all agreed that the odds are very much against a recession this year. And I just wonder where all of the negative talk is going to go if, in fact, the economy stays solid.
Yeah.
That's going to be very hard to beat Donald Trump.
Yeah, I get a kick out of seeing these Tom Steyer presidential commercials because he keeps talking about how we've got to beat Donald Trump on the economy. And I'm thinking, like, look, how?
Yeah.
I mean, all this growth, we're going to stop it.
Yeah.
You know, all this wage increase, we're going to stop it. These lower taxes, we're going to raise I mean, I get it. Donald Trump is not singularly responsible for the success of the American economy. However, he did many things, and along with some congressional Republicans that he dragged kicking and screaming along the way, did several things that did help. And you know, of course, the reduced taxes, lower regulation, being able to reimport the profits that international corporations that have been hiding them off seas have now brought them in here, as Tara has articulated on many occasions. All of this stuff contributed to where we are today. Certainly things that the Obama administration and congressional Democrats were all opposed to.
Yeah. And they tried to convince us that the new normal was lower growth overall. Because, you know, if you want all
right.
those regulations and all those taxes and everything, you're just going to have to get used to lower growth,
right.
which means that some of you are not going to have jobs.
Right.
Like, this is a good thing?
All you miners go learn code.
Exactly. All you miners go
Joe
learn
would
code.
Tell you. Yeah.
I loved it. Anyway, it just struck me because the immortal words of James Carville, who, of course, advised the Bill Clinton campaign. Mm-hmm. You remember him, the Clinton who won. He said the famous words, of course, it's the economy, stupid.
Yep.
And usually it is.
It still is. And yeah. And quite honestly, despite whatever other social change, whatever other threats to this country there may be, when it comes time to make a decision as to how you are going to vote, most Americans still look at what's in my wallet, what's in my pocketbook, what have I got in the bank, what are my prospects for the future, how secure do I feel like in my job, do I feel like borrowing money to go spend money, or am I looking at a recession, am I looking at a troubled economy, am I looking at losing a job, and those are the kinds of things that influence the vote. And right now, it's looking good for Trump.
Yeah, it really is. And something else, some of the figures that I have seen about the president's approval rating in the African-American community in the 30s.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Now, Ronald Reagan, the year he carried in 1984, he carried 49 states and almost carried Walter Mondale's home state of Minnesota. And he took about a third of the Hispanic vote. He took both men and women, young and old. He took 9% of the black vote.
Mm-hmm.
If Donald Trump's 30-some percent approval rating, and I've seen that in a couple of polls among black voters. If that translated into support, are you kidding me? This election is over.
Well, even if it doesn't mean support, if it means that the black voters don't show up,
mm-hmm.
which is what this is one thing that, once again, referencing Tara, that she's had some callers and they have had this theory that it's not that they necessarily are going to go vote Republican, but they're just not going to show up. If you decrease that voting block from Democrat support, it's over.
It is over. They cannot possibly win without somewhere upwards of the 90% level of support. And if they don't show, you're right, even, and Tara's right, even if it's not a case of voting for Trump, but they're just not unhappy enough to vote, same result.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Good stuff, as always, Lee Rogers, at 712 now at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And just looking at some of those the statements made by this Barron's financial panel here, one of the panelists, the chief investment officer of Epic Investment, William Priest, says the sum of the growth in the workforce and growth in productivity has to be a minus sign. It's almost impossible to get that in the U.S. right now. I think real U.S. gross domestic product growth will be around 1.5% this year. Merrill Whitmer, general partner at Eagle Capital Partners in New York, another part of the Barron's financial prediction team, if you will, says the consumers are in good shape. The consumers will continue to spend. The Fed looks like it'll be very cooperative. We usually say slow growth is good for the market, but with valuations so high right now, I would not expect a robust year for the market. And again, that's something to keep in mind here, because what is good for Wall Street is not always good for Main Street. You can see, for example, on more than one occasion, you will see, let's say, headline unemployment rate down, and the stock market is unhappy. We haven't seen that lately, where unemployment has been down and the stock market has been happy. But often in the past, they have been unhappy simply because, while you and I are happy that your deadbeat brother-in-law has got a job now and won't have a reason to be begging from you anymore, but to Wall Street, that has often been a sign that, oh, here we come, more inflation, and they get very, very spooked about that. What necessarily is good for the investors on Wall Street is not always the same as what's good for the rest of the country. And to his credit, Donald Trump has been a lot more concerned with what's good for the rest of the country. He has so far been able to have his cake and eat it too, because, of course, not only is unemployment at record lows, but also the stock market has been hitting record highs. So, again, it is ironic, as Lee noted, that you see commercials like from a Tom Steyer about we must go after the president on the economy. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I'm going to go after the heavyweight boxing champion with my left hook also. I don't think so, honestly. I just don't see that. There are lots of reasons why you could dislike Donald Trump, I suppose. Maybe you consider his tweets to be excessive, and there are times that I must confess that I cringe a bit. But if you look at the actual performance, the economy is good. Oh, and of course, this war with Iran, that hasn't happened, okay, because he did not escalate. He showed remarkable restraint. And you can watch the Democrats when they have to concede these things. He showed restraint, but they'll think of something. Or Bernie Sanders saying, yeah, unemployment's reaching record lows, and that's a good thing. But, they're reaching right now. Trust me. You may feel beleaguered as a conservative, but I got to tell you something. This is not a good time to be a Democrat. And 2020 is not, at this juncture, looking particularly good.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
That's right, more stimulating. Absolutely. Any more stimulation and we would be R-rated, my friend. Thank you for being with us. It's Jim Bohannon sitting in for Tara today because I felt like it. We locked the doors, wouldn't let her in. We're 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Also 106.3WORD.com, which, by the way, is a great thing to do. You can get used to a 106.3WORD. You grow up in the Upstate, and it's there. It's sort of like a public utility. You turn on the light switch, and there's... There's electricity in your lights, and turn on the faucet, and you got water in the sink, and you turn on the radio or your phone, what have you, and there's 106.3 WORD. Well, there are conservative stations in most communities around the country, but they aren't all 106.3 WORD. They don't have the local commitment. They don't have the news coverage. There are a lot of things that you wouldn't find. So you could be in another town. You might move there or just be visiting somewhere. And you check out the local equivalent, and it's not always that equivalent. And I'm just saying that you can take us with you, even if it's outside the extent of our signals, 106.3 FM and 101.5 FM around Anderson. You can take us anywhere. And I have listened to 106.3WORD.com in cities around the country. And I feel very up-to-date and informed. And you can do that. Just something to keep in mind there, okay? Texter is saying, Jim, I believe Hillary would have made a good president for at least diplomatic affairs. If there was someone that needed to be taken out, they would be, and the United States would not have been to blame. It would have just been considered a suicide. Good heavens. Arkanside as an official U.S. policy. Yeah, I suppose. Well, I must confess I had never really looked for reasons why she would have been a good president, but I guess maybe you found at least a partial option there, okay? Another texter says, we put up with Rodman in the NBA. I think we can put up with Trump tweets. Well, okay, good point. That's true. And of course, Dennis Rodman, a little weird sometimes, but he can rebound like crazy. And likewise, President Trump performs. I mean, he delivers. Isn't that what you look for in a president? It's what I look for in a president. And he's actually delivered on things that he said he would do. And that has to count for a lot. It really does. And with a lot of voters out there. You just look at this race. We're going to have results before you know it. I mean, we are already in the middle of January, the 13th of January, and here the 3rd of February. That's the Iowa caucuses, for Pete's sake. Not that far away. And Elizabeth Warren has been dipping. You know, she was sort of the darling early on, and she was surviving very nicely the president's tweets about Pocahontas and all the rest of that, and even discovering that, in fact, no, she wasn't that much Native American at all, was she? But she survived that. And then she started getting specific about Medicare for all and how she would pay for it, and taxing the daylights out of everybody. She's been sinking in the polls of late, in a number of the key early states. She's not disappeared, not like Kamala Harris did, but she's not certainly right up there at the very tip top. And I have to wonder how well she's going to do. I think that the campaign is struggling a bit, and she's been struggling with fundraising too. Which brings us, I guess, to Tom Steyer and Michael Bloomberg. And of course, you just see their commercials everywhere. In fact, we just had Tom Steyer here on this station just a few minutes ago. And I'm never one to speak ill of a sponsor, of course. I confess that sometimes I find Tom's logic to be maybe above me, but that's another story entirely. 726 here at 106.3. My point simply being that they are spending a ton of money. And I'm wondering the extent to which the Democratic presidential nomination will be, in fact, up for bids. Now, some may take that as a veiled criticism of Donald Trump, also a billionaire. However, remember that Donald Trump didn't spend that much of his own money. while he was self-funded, you know, most of his publicity came from him opening his mouth and then people reporting it, or from his tweeting. He didn't really spend in terms of cash that much, whereas Tom Steyer and Michael Bloomberg, who don't really have a case to be made except through commercials, and what they have to say is so unnoteworthy that nobody really covers it that much, they are spending a fortune. Michael Bloomberg has indicated that it is quite possible that before he's done, he will spend $1 billion to become president of the United States. That's a lot of money, folks. That's $1,000 million. Stop and think about that. $1 billion. You could give $2 each to most of the upstate, and you would still have some money left over. So I'm just curious as to how that's going to play with these egalitarian Democrats who are so upset about privilege and the like, and especially old white guys. And I got to tell you, Tom Steyer and Mike Bloomberg are old white guys. I'm just curious. It doesn't bother me that they're spending their own money, but I'm wondering why it doesn't bother more Democrats. It certainly is bothering some of them, and I'll be curious as to see how well they do. Steyer has been at this for a while. Bloomberg will outspend him and everybody else before he's done, which I think will be sometime after Super Tuesday. But Steyer has been spending for a while, and he is showing up. In other words, he has been able to buy some fairly decent polling numbers. He has spent enough that tomorrow night's Democratic debate, Steyer is going to be on stage because he got high enough in the polls. How'd he get there? Well, of course, he got there by virtue of spending that money. We'll see. I don't think either man can win the Democratic nomination, or that either man would wind up as a running mate. But I'll just be very curious, particularly, again, from Democrats who are so upset about money and politics. And here now their race is rapidly becoming a race that involves two prominent billionaires who will not go away. Others have gone away. Kamala Harris, for example, and Cory Booker is on the verge of going away. Marianne Williamson, you know, I'll miss Marianne. I really will. She was such a nice bit of comic relief. Darn it, we're going to miss her. Anyway, Texter says $1 billion is $100 million, not $1,000 million. Wrong, Texter. $100 million is a tenth of a billion. Look it up. It isn't often that I get batting practice pitches like that. Look it up, Texter. This is Jimbo for Tara.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We've got this rush hour under control as best we can. Be sure to drive carefully out there. The roads were a tad on the slick side this morning. We should have been out really early, like those of us early risers were. Unbelievable. I-85 south of Greenville, and generally the Anderson to Greenville area. Oh, very heavy rain falling down. So just be careful, all right? We were just talking in studio here a little bit about the Royals, and I just noted the fact that today, of course, there's this big summit that is taking place. The Queen has called a big meeting of the head royals. I guess Prince Charles is going to be there, Chucky, and a few people of that ilk, and they're trying to decide what to do with the royals now that they're playing hard to get, if you will. My own view about the British monarchy is that they have become pretty much the government-subsidized British version of Disneyland. They're a tourist attraction. You know, you go to London, and what are you going to see? Well, you certainly want to see the Tower of London, but you got to go see the changing of the guard, right? Do what you can to crack up the guards and all. And that's what they are. They're a tourist attraction. The Queen is worth, I think, a little like about $8.6 billion was the last figure I saw, which would make her wealthier than President Trump. But stop and consider this. The last time that a British monarch overruled an act of parliament was 1707. 1707. That's 313 years ago. And I don't want to call them irrelevant, but darn it, that's just what I have to call them. They're irrelevant, okay? I'll go ahead and call them that. They're a symbol and the like, but I'll be idly curious, I suppose, about what the Queen announces today as regards what the royal family will do about the royals who want to become financially independent. And as has been noted, of course, Meghan Markle is a person who has acting chops and is going to be doing something with Disney, working for a living. I'm not sure that a royal is allowed to do that even, but there you go, actually pulling down a paycheck. And I was just sharing in studio the idea that anybody who is heir to a fortune, at least a part of a fortune that worth $8.6 billion, right off the bat, if you are worried about being financially independent, you have no concept of how most people live. And I was taken back to a cartoon that came out during one of the baseball strikes a few years ago, and it showed this baseball player in a uniform, and he's knocking on a door. A woman comes to the door, and he says, "Mow your lawn for $25,000. And that is the extent to which these are people who are really in touch, if you will, with the world, the real world here. Let's see here. I misspoke when I said that $1 billion from Michael Bloomberg to give $2 to the upstate. Yeah, it would be $3 to every American. That is quite correct. That is quite correct. Speaking about billions, it is very hard for us to understand the concept of a billion anything or even less a trillion anything, which is 1,000 billions or 1,000,000 millions. I've found a way that I think can halfway make this understandable. And it's important that we do this because these terms rhyme, and that's unfortunate. And we tend to equate them. A million, a billion, a trillion, it's all the same. No, it's not. And I think I finally found a way to make this understandable. Take the hairs on your head, okay? A hair on your head is about a tenth of a millimeter in diameter. If you were to lay down on the ground 1,000,000 head hairs side by side, they would stretch about a football field and one end zone. That's 1,000,000 hairs from your head. If you did this, of course, in real life, you would wind up bald, but that's another point. 1,000,000 human head hairs, a football field and one end zone. 1,000,000,000 human head hairs would stretch about 63 miles. Think about that. 1,000,000,000,000 human head hairs would stretch 63,000 miles over a quarter of the way to the moon. So the next time you hear millions, billions, and trillions, you might keep in mind that they are not the same thing and that we have become so accustomed to talking about these numbers as if they are the same, and they aren't. And it would be a lot easier if we all had some understanding of the numbers in order for us to have some grasp of just what it is that we're doing as we spend ourselves into oblivion. I am in favor of the notion that directly above the speaker's podium in each House of Congress would be the website usdebtclock.org, usdebtclock.org. And that shows the numbers flying by on the national debt. They have probably 3 or 4 dozen numbers up there. It's all kinds of different numbers related to indebtedness, but the main one, of course, is the national debt, which is now in the $23 trillion range. And if you read the number aloud, you can read the 23 trillion and so many hundred million, a billion rather, and so many hundred million. When you get down to the hundreds of thousands, the numbers fly by too fast to even read them. That's how much we are in debt. And I hope that sooner or later we will become less enamored of the gross national credit card. I really do. Dexter says, my head hairs wouldn't get a first down. Yeah, seriously. Seriously. Yeah, not even first and goal. That's very true. Very, very true. Nonetheless, the fact is that we need a better understanding of those numbers, especially when we have people out there who are running on platforms of promising to spend even more of those numbers. Just a thought, my friends. All right. This is Jimbo for Terra at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, and 106.3WORD.com and 101.5 FM over in Anderson. Thank you for being a part of this program today, and we'd love to hear from you.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And Dexter says, Jim, if we balance the budget today and start paying it off at $100 million per day tomorrow, it would take 630 years to pay it off, not counting interest. Yeah, paying it off is certainly, to say the least, a long-term proposition. We need a balanced budget amendment with teeth. And we also need what I personally favor, a surplus budget amendment, except in times of a serious economic downturn, and by that I mean 1929, not 2008, or a declared war, the kind we haven't had since December the 8th of 1941, except in those two cases that 1% of all federal revenue would automatically be diverted to the debt. Just some thoughts in that regard. But no, it is a problem. It is not easy to destroy the American economy. It's very big and very robust and very healthy, but goodness knows we've been trying to destroy it now for so many years that people say, well, we could never become Greece. No, but we could become a very large version of Greece, and I just hope that that doesn't happen. I would note, by the way, some things that we mentioned, Michael Bloomberg and Tom Steyer, who are going to try to spin their way to the Democratic presidential nomination, and I just was noting some of the things that Bloomberg has said. You know, the guy down in Texas when that fellow was shooting up the church and one of the people in the church, an armed guard shot and killed him. Bloomberg says it wasn't his job to have a gun or decide to shoot. It's the job of law enforcement to have guns and to decide when to shoot. You just do not want the average citizen carrying a gun in a crowded place. I'm sure that must be very heartening to all of the people who are still alive in that church, because they could have said, you know, just as they were going down with multiple bullet wounds, they could have said, boy, you'd never do that if a cop had been here. That would make them feel much better, or their survivors, I'm sure. So, for what it's worth, that's some of what Mike Bloomberg is talking about here, that the Texas church hero was no hero. It wasn't his place to have a gun or decide when to shoot, because that's what the cops are for. You know, personally, I have tried to carry around a cop with me at all times, and I found that mostly they greatly resist that notion. They're not interested in being carried around. What can I tell you? Something else that Mike Bloomberg has had to say, and I agree with this. California can serve as a great example for the rest of this country. I could not agree more. Of course, I'm including bad examples, but those count in my book. Now, that wasn't what Mike was saying. He was very happy about a host of things on climate change, gun violence, on criminal justice. I'm not sure about that gun violence thing. You might want to steer clear of that one there, Michael. In fact, I'm not sure why, as the former mayor of New York, you're talking about that at all. But he is right that California can serve as a great example for the rest of the country. And if you like the kinds of homelessness and third world conditions that you see in California, if you like that, you'd love President Mike Bloomberg. All right? All together now. Let's all say it together. President Bloomberg said today, doesn't go over well, does it? Boy, that'll curdle your cornflakes at 4 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday morning. But people are going to be watching, I think, much more closely. Bloomberg did not even qualify for the ballot in the early contests. He waited so long. He's going to make a big push on Super Tuesday, which is right after the South Carolina primaries. What is it, the 3rd of March, something like that. I forget when Super Tuesday is. But 14 states and various territories have primaries and caucuses. On that date, on Super Tuesday, you are going to have over two-thirds of the delegates needed to for nomination will be chosen on Super Tuesday. After that, we'll see how much of a race is left. My guess is two or three of them will be still running. And the best part, of course, about having this extended Democrat campaign is the fact that they keep producing material for Donald Trump's own commercials. All he has to do is save it and pick out the good stuff from whoever finally gets the nomination. And they've dumped on each other pretty hard. All right. Anyway, we'll take a quick break, and we've got, of course, more news to provide for you, courtesy of the award-winning WORD newsroom. Jimbo Fertera here at 4 minutes now before the hour of 8 a.m.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.